Hey, has anybody heard of this place out in the Arizona desert called the Mushroom Patch? The Mushroom Patch. Pilots fly over this place in the desert there in Arizona, and they look down and they see this array of antennas that kind of looks like giant mushrooms, and so they call it the Mushroom Patch. Maybe you're starting to understand what I'm talking about. The abbreviation for this thing is the VLA. Stands for the Very Large Array, right? There's this patch of 27 giant antennas out there that are 82 feet in circumference, and they're all pointed towards space. Astronomers come from all over the world to look through these radio telescopes to see what's going out there in space. And so research is done out there. And so part of the research is done these days is by an organization called CETA. You probably have heard of CETA before. It's the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. I can't even say it. Maybe there's no intelligence right here, right? They're searching for intelligence out there in space. They want to know if there's life out there. They want to know if they can find these advanced life forms. It might be able to help us solve some of the difficult challenges that we have right here on planet Earth. So they're looking for some truth. They're looking for new knowledge. And so they go to great lengths by using these 27 large radio telescopes on 35 miles of radio tracks so they can be moved around to find new knowledge, to find truth. And so they go to great expense to try to search for faint messages that come from space. And why do they do it? They do it because they're looking for answers. They're looking for new truth. They ask questions, and they're listening for answers. Forgetting that the God who created that universe has all of the answers that we would ever need. Because he has maybe his own very large array. Able to hear all of our prayers, understand all of our wants, all of our desires, and answer every question that we might have. He has an array that receives, and he has one that sends. One that delivers the answers that we need. Turn in your scriptures this morning, as Christina used to say, turn in your scriptures, men, this morning to 1 Timothy. Can you hear him? I just echoes in my mind. I listen to Chris's talks over and over and over all the time. They're online. I hope that you listen to them from time to time also, because they are really terrific. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 is where we're going to start. We're going to go through verse 8 this morning. And we are talking about this topic of prayer. Here it is, verse 1. First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle, I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And here's where we're going to finally get to today, verse 8. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without dissension. What does God want men to do? Well, it comes to us with perfect clarity in this passage right here. This is what God wants his men to do. He wants his men, he wants his leaders to pray. That's what he wants. I think there's no place in the Bible that speaks directly to manhood more than this passage right here. What is it God wants from men? He wants us to be praying men. So let's develop this morning. Do you know that the only thing Jesus' apostles asked him to teach them how to do was to pray? He didn't ask them to teach them how to turn water into wine. They didn't ask him to teach them how to make more money. or to teach them the secret of long life. There's one thing that they ask Jesus to teach them to do. And we find it in Luke 11, verse 1. And here's what it says. And it happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, so he'd been praying and he finished, and the disciples saw him come back from this prayer. And this is what the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." These men, the ones that Jesus was training to be his core leadership team, this is what they knew. They had witnessed Jesus pray over and over and over. He always went to prayer. He prayed before an event, he prayed during an event, and he prayed with thankfulness after an event. They saw him pray, and they knew the power in his prayers. And so when they saw that, they realized that, here's what they wanted more than anything else. We want to be like that. We want to pray like Jesus does. We want to have the power that obviously comes to him after he prays. That's what we want. That was the most important thing to them, so they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And of course he did. He taught them how to pray. And I think that's why the very first thing that Paul says to his young protege, this young pastor Timothy who was left there in Ephesus to accomplish a mission, the very first thing Paul said is, "Timothy, you're going to pray. You need to pray. That's where everything begins." And so he says to Timothy, "You're going to pray." So let's look at this a little bit more closely this morning, chapter 2 and verse 1. First of all, Paul encouraging young Timothy with the first thing he should do. First of all, Timothy, I urge you with entreaties, that means honest, sincere communication and prayer and petition, that's asking and thanksgiving, that's being grateful to God for the answers to his prayers, whatever it's going to be when it comes. So the first thing he says is we are going to pray. Now there's three things that we're going to see in here. We're going to see the who, and the why. I'm sorry, the who, and the how. We're going to see some whys along the way also. But who, and how. So let's look at this. Who are we to pray for? That's the question we're going to answer. Look at verse 2. Who are we going to pray for? And as we do this, we're going to see the word all over these verses. So here it is, verse 2. We are going to pray for kings and all who are in authority so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Who are we to pray for? We're to pray for our leaders, aren't we? Our kings, our presidents. Listen, and by the way, that neighbor next to you, right, that just grinds on you sometimes, or that political figure that you don't agree with, the prayer is not for them to burn in hell, guys. The prayer is for them to lead our nation to, yes, to what? Peace. That we may live tranquil lives, that quiet lives and godliness. That's what the prayer is supposed to be. So who do you pray for? All men, every man, whether they are your friend or your enemy, whoever they are, we pray for all men so that we may live a tranquil and quiet life. Look at verse 4 now. We pray for this also. Verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Okay, well, if it's good, we probably should do it. Verse 4, who desires all men to be saved? That's the second thing. God desires for all men to be saved. Why do I say that all men, he desires for all men to be saved? Because God's word says he desires for all men to be saved. That's what we're to pray for. We're to pray for all men, that they come to the knowledge of salvation, that they're not lost in this world, floundering around, not knowing the purpose for life, aggravated, frustrated. We pray for all men so they come to peace. They come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's verse 4, the knowledge of the truth. Verse 6, here's another one. Start on verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for who? All. The testimony given at the right time. Who do we pray for? That all men, that they all have the opportunity to come to salvation. So we pray for all. Why? Because it brings peace. We pray for all. Why? Because we want them to be saved. We pray for all men because Scripture says this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. That should be our desire. That should be the emphasis of our prayer. So Paul says to Timothy, you pray for these things, and I want you to pray for those things. And by the way, what does he say? I was called to be a preacher of these things. That's what Paul says. That's why I exist. That's why God took me on the Damascus Road, changed me from the attacker of the Christians to the encourager of the Christians, to the main teacher of the Christians. That's what I was called to do. So that's the who we are to pray for. The who we are to pray for. Now the second who. Who is to do the praying? Who is to do the praying? We saw that. Look at verse 8 again. This is who is to do the praying. Therefore, I want the men in every place. Is this a place? Are you the men? To do what? Pray. I want our men to pray. This is what Paul knew men needed to do. He knew men needed to pray. He knew that's where the power was. He had heard of Jesus. He met him in person in the desert as the incarnate Christ, didn't he? And he learned directly from him. He knew the power of prayer. So men, therefore, men are to do the praying. And it didn't come from Paul. He learned this from Jesus himself. He knew the scriptures. Matthew 6:5, Jesus said, when you pray. Matthew 6:6, when you pray. Matthew 6:7, when you pray. Luke 11:9, ask, seek, knock. He was talking about prayer. And then in Luke 18:1, he told a parable to his disciples, and this is the introduction to it. This is what he said. Men, now I'm telling them, you guys, this parable to show you that at all times, there's another all, right? At all times, you ought to pray and not lose heart. So these are the things that Paul knew, and these are the things that he was passing along to Timothy. And he said, this church in Ephesus, they got some problems. They're weak. This is one of the ways that you're going to strengthen the men here at the church in Ephesus. You're going to teach them to pray. You're going to teach them to pray. So what does God want men to do? He wants his men to pray. And by the way, that word men there is not a generic term for all mankind. It is a masculine word. It means exactly what it says, men. He's talking to men. The men are to pray. And we are to pray. So first, his men are to pray. Number two, they're to pray for all. And finally, here's the how. In verse 8, Paul shows Timothy, this is how the men are to pray. And this is fantastic. By the way, as I said before, I think this is one of the most fantastic verses on manhood and one of our primary roles in life in the entire scripture. We are to pray. But look at how we're to pray. How we're, verse 8, therefore I want the men to pray in every place by doing what? Lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. What does that mean? Lifting holy hands was always symbolic of praising God, of lifting our praises up to Him, acknowledging who He is, His place as creator of the universe, the one who holds everything in His hand. So we are to be men who are not afraid to raise our hands before God and praise Him and thank Him for who He is, thank Him for creating us, thank Him for calling us through His Son to Him. So we are to be men who lift up holy hands. Number two, we are to lift up holy hands, but we're also to lift up hands that are clean, holy hands. Not just hands, but holy hands. Everybody hold up your hands. Hold up your hands. Hold up your hands. I can't tell which of your hands are holy or not. They all look like hands, right? But God knows which hands are holy. He knows who in this room has unrepentant sin, who's walking in some kind of sin that he should not be walking in. God says, look at yourself, examine yourself. I want men who pray who have holy hands. So if there's something going on in your life right now you shouldn't be doing right now, you know it and God knows it, just do something about it. Say, God, forgive me of the sin. Cleanse me, make my hands holy, because God uses holy men, doesn't He? He uses holy men. Ask Him to forgive you, and guess what? We just read earlier, oh, look at this, guys, look at it again. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom. Why? So we could be forgiven. It doesn't matter what you're doing and what you have done, you could be forgiven of it. What did it say in that verse? I forget what is behind. I ask God to forgive me. I move forward. Right? So live a clean and holy and pure life, knowing that you can be forgiven. You are forgiven if you ask. Number three, what kind of hands is He looking for? Ones that are without wrath. Wrath. Anger. Unforgiveness, bitterness towards someone else. He doesn't want those kind of hands. He wants hands that are clean. They're free of the encumbrance of carrying burdens that we no longer need to carry against other people. Let the anger go. Find peace. That's the kind of hands that God wants us to raise to Him. And last, raising up holy hands without wrath and dissension. He doesn't want a troublemaker. Right? He wants a peacemaker. He wants somebody who will make peace, will lead people toward peace. Why? We read it earlier. For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all dignity. What kind of life is that? It's a peaceful life, isn't it? So He wants men who raise holy hands that are peacemakers. No dissension whatsoever. So what does God want, men? God wants men who will pray. And I read somewhere when I was preparing for this talk, and this is what the man said. What good is a man who will not pray? What good is a leader who refuses to pray? That kind of a man is a God who's not useful in God's kingdom. And he will never be the kind of leader that God wants him to be. He'll never be the kind of man that God wants him to be because he refuses to communicate with the one who created him and called him and wants to use him for his glory. So Paul is saying to men, you need to pray. I have always been, anybody heard of Andrew Murray? Andrew Murray? I've always been inspired by the life of Andrew Murray. He was a Scottish missionary that went in the middle 1800s to South Africa. And he stayed there as a missionary for 68 years. And you can imagine the hardships that he probably endured as a missionary in South Africa in the late 1800s. It probably was tough. But Andrew Murray went there and he persevered for 68 years, and this is what he said. Nowhere can we get to know the holiness of God and come under the influence and power except in the inner chamber. Do we want to be influenced by God? Do you want the power that comes to you from God can only come, that same power that came upon Jesus Christ when he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended on him? Do you want that power? Andrew Murray said, I was a missionary in South Africa for 68 years, and you know what got me through this thing? Prayer. Being close to God. Having the power of God. That's what got me through. And so he says, I spent many hours in the inner chamber praying, communicating with God. Men, our society, I think, is searching for truth, right? Searching for direction. Searching for answers. They're even looking into the vastness of the cosmos. Looking out there into the universe using things like a VLA, when all the while we have access to the God who created the universe through this portal of prayer. What kind of man does God want? Verse 8, one final time. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. That's what God wants. That's what His man looks like. I know we're all here Friday morning minutes, but that's the kind of guy we want to be. That's why we're here, isn't it? Right, men? Well, I can help you if you're struggling with that. Our team, including Gene Mason, mostly Gene Mason, has put together this prayer guide for you. All right? Sometimes you say, you know, maybe my prayer life is stale. I need some help. I don't know where to start. Here's a prayer guide. It's a tool that we've created to help you. There are some at the end of the table right there. You pick up one. Also, the digital file will be available to you next week in the weekly email. You can download the PDF file. But I think you'll find this prayer guide very, very useful. So here's our challenge today. And you can ask yourself this question. Are you the kind of man that God wants? Let's pray, guys. Father, we thank you that there's this portal open to every one of us in this room to speak directly to you. And to hear from you through the influence of the Holy Spirit and to hear from you through your word, the scriptures that every man has access to. We thank you for caring for us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your son to die for us so that we could be saved and be the kind of leaders that you want us to be. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, have a great time at your tables, wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.